Come on, we can do better than that. Give our Lord a shout this morning. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, the Lord. Hallelujah. His truth is marching on. They left out one of my favorite verses. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Hallelujah. After we had intercession in here last Sunday morning, after the service, I shared with some of the intercessors, we need to sing the Battle Hymn of Republic because God's truth is marching on. Regardless of what the circumstances look like, regardless of the laws that are legislated, our God's truth marches on. And his truth supersedes any other thing, our law, our lie, that they try to tell you is true. So praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that you've gathered us here today. We thank you, Lord, for the saints of God that are in this house and for the saints of God that are listening on the internet. Lord, we just thank you that your Spirit unites us together as one as we continue, Lord, to look at the truth and the doctrine that our God is a God of justice. Amen, amen, amen. So the Lord loves righteousness and justice. He mentions it over 500 times in a scripture. He talks about justice more, almost more, than any other topic in the Word. And what is justice? Well, actually, justice is a legal process and procedures upholding the law. And there is no justice if evil continues to grow. So where there is no justice, where there's no law, where there's no order established from God, evil will continue to grow. Let's go to our first scripture, Psalm 33:5. Let's read it with me. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So the goodness of the Lord is his righteousness and justice. Because righteousness and justice is what brings us peace. It is what keeps everything flowing in order. Let's read the next scripture, Psalm 97:2. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So the kingdom of God, God's government, is established on righteousness and justice. And I shared last week, it's the perfect balance. If it would be out of balance, then his throne would topple. It would be setting cockeyed. It would be sideways. So justice is so important that God stakes his whole kingdom upon the principle of justice. The scripture says in Isaiah 6 through 7, and it's not on your PowerPoint. You might want to write it down. It's a familiar scripture. I just want to read through it and release this word. The scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So the government is on his shoulders, and his government continues to increase, and His peace continues to increase. So if God's government is an increase of peace, then the people of God that are in the kingdom of God should have a peace increasing on the inside of us rather than walking in fear and doubt and unbelief. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing. So, Father, I pray for those who are anxious as they see things that are coming upon the earth. Father, I ask you to wash over them today with your peace. You are the Prince of Peace, and the God of Peace will soon crush the plans of Satan underneath our feet. Hallelujah. When we think about our legal system here in the world, we see that it's built upon God's legal processes. It's built on the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Those are some of the major things that we have people in court, right? Stealing, killing. And it's interesting, as I was meditating on that thought, I was reminded that they have tried to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. Do you remember that? Now, if our legal system is established upon God's laws, His Ten Commandments, if everybody lived by the Ten Commandments, there'd be a whole lot of peace in the world, wouldn't there? And they're trying to take them out. Do you remember here in Elkhart, they insisted that we move them from the courthouse. Right. They insisted that we move the statue from the courthouse, and it ended up down on Main Street. Someone who owned property down there said, put it here. But why would we want to separate God's judicial system from our judicial system? This is a concern. We should be concerned, Americans, and the intercessors of God need to pray, because the satanic agenda is coming at our nation like a Mack truck. Where there is no justice, the law of darkness rules. Where there is justice, the law of heaven rules. Thank you, Lord. All of us have experienced situations in our life where we say, have said, this just isn't right. This is so unfair. Does anyone identify with that? Because you've experienced an injustice. Someone slanders you. You're due justice. Someone steals from you. You're due justice. And then there are scales of justice. We see the scales of justice on our banner. There are scales of justice. And the judge decides the weight or the sentence when justice is served. You don't put someone in jail for 10 years for stealing a rake out of your yard. But if somebody steals everything out of your garage and sets your house on fire, then that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother judgment. True? Okay. Let's look at Psalm 37:28. And let's read this together. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. So what the Lord is saying, he is saying that he renders justice for his saints. And if he doesn't render justice for his saints, then he's forsaking his people. So when someone slanders you, you are due justice. And when somebody steals from you, you are due justice. This is a principle. And God is a covenant-keeping God. He does not forsake his saints. He will bring justice into that situation. We talked last week about vengeance is mine. Book of Romans, saith the Lord, I will revenge. You know, if we take justice into our own hands, then we're in a whole bunch of trouble. We can cause even more trouble for ourselves when we do that. But if we can remember that the Lord loves justice and He will bring justice into our lives, He will not forsake us. Tell yourself, God will not forsake me. And now tell someone you're sitting close to, God will not forsake you. I know there are people sitting in here today that have had many injustices come against them. I want to remind you and encourage you today that God loves justice and He has not forsaken you. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 103:6. Let's read it together. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. When God executes something, He does it. It means to do or to make. He executes righteousness and justice for all of those who are pressed upon, those that are oppressed, those that are defrauded, those that violated, to get deceitfully, deceive, do wrong. When you're depressed, all of these things come against you. Someone deceives you. Someone does wrong against you. But remember the Lord. Say the Lord. Executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So there's hope for you this morning. If you're feeling oppressed today, it is God that will execute His judgment. He will bring things and a great turnaround in your life. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere with this. So there are scales of justice and settlement for pain and injury is a part of the sentence that is given. So let's take a look here at Exodus 22, 1 through 4. Let's read it. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it's an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. And so God takes into account when something is taken from you, a resource is taken, something you were depending upon was taken, and to restore your peace, your anxiety, all of the stress and turmoil you went through because that was taken, God restores more back to you. Do you see that? God demands that more come back than what was taken. And this is, I wondered when I read this passage, when we studied this in school, if the thief is found breaking in and he struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. That must go along with the law that says if someone's breaking in your house and you kill them in your house, right? It's okay, is that right, Gabe? He's smiling. I believe that's what it says, because I've heard people say, if you kill him in the yard, drag him in the house. Let's read Proverbs 6:30-31. All right, we went too far here. People, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet, when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. So we see a scale of justice, weights and balances. God said, 5 oxen, for one ox. He said, four sheep for one lamb. And he said, if you catch the thief, what needs to be restored back to you is sevenfold. Sevenfold. And also in Exodus, it was to be restored two times more. So we see that when something is taken from us, God's justice restores it back to us and even more. So none of us are victims. When God is our judge and God is fighting on our behalf, we may have been victimized, but God will restore. That is the only hope that we have. And not only does God restore back to us what was stolen, He heals our soul. He takes the broken pieces of our life and He puts it all back together again. He's the master builder, and He has a blueprint for every one of our lives. And when things are upside down, when things have been destroyed, when there's situations that look like we're never going to make it, God is able to do it. And He wants to do it. He renders justice. He executes justice and righteousness on our behalf. We need to grab a hold of this truth and live our lives based on it. So as we read these passages, one thing I thought of was the idea is that you catch the person and you take them before the judge. Now, you know, we're usually not out catching people. In our day and age, we have police officers that catch people. But in the spirit, when things have gone haywire against us, we catch the thief and we present that situation before the judge of the universe, before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the judge passes the sentence and executes the judgment. So in justice, we receive, the injured receives a compensation. So many times in a car accident, your car might be replaced, but the damage that was done to your body, you live with forever. And so we see when justice is issued many times, people get settlements that last a lifetime to help take care of their situation. Because it was more than just a car that was destroyed. So justice is where the injured receives compensation. And we've all had a form of injustice done against us because the enemy, Satan, and his demons here in the earth, they provoke people to act out against you. Has anyone noticed that? We need to realize that God wants to bring justice into our life. But there are some things that need to happen. Last week we talked about the widow that stood at the door of the unrighteous judge, the unjust judge. Every day she went. And the Lord used this parable to remind his disciples that they should pray and never stop praying. Never stop praying. Keep petitioning, keep knocking, keep asking. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know what? I wonder what she was asking for. And I believe she was asking for justice. The scripture says she was going before the unjust judge because she wanted justice. And so in our situations, are we asking God for justice? Or are we praying against this, praying against that? Do we ask God for his justice to be served? I've caught the thief, Lord. Here's the thief. This is my situation. I'm petitioning you with this. Release your justice and restore in Jesus' name. So let's look. We've read this scripture before, but we're going to take a deeper look at this in Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Is that scripture not up there? Okay. So the Lord longs to be gracious to us. He longs to have mercy upon us. And the scripture says that he waits on you. And the Lord waits for you to do something so that he can justifiably do something on your behalf. He's waiting. There may be some issues in our life that he's waiting for us to change our attitude, to repent of our sin. Remember, let's go on and read Galatians 6 through 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So if you are sowing something that is against the will of God, he cannot bring justice into your life because God is not mocked. God is waiting. He waits for us to repent. He waits for us to get into alignment with his will. And some of us are more strong-willed than others and don't submit or yield as easily to what the Lord is saying. Can somebody say amen? It's the truth. But he waits for us to position ourselves at the throne of grace. And when we repent, he forgives us. So God waits for us because he is not going to bless our sin. God does not bless sin. Sin separates us from God. He's a God of justice. He cannot bless your mess. But he will clean up your mess. He's not afraid of your mess. He's not avoiding you because you stink. It's like passing the baby. You change him. No, you change him. God's not like that. He wants to get involved in our lives. He wants to bring justice. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. He will not bless sin. And many times we want him to act on our behalf and be the God of justice, the God of mishpat, to come into our lives, to come into our situation. But he's waiting on us. So is there anything God's waiting on? You know, when we're rebellious, God's not going to bless our rebellion. Somebody may have rebelled against us, but just because they rebelled against us doesn't give us the legal right to rebel against them. God is not going to bless that until we repent of our rebellion. So many people are so full of pride and so haughty. God will not bless that. The scripture says in Romans 6:18 that we can live righteous before him And being set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We're no longer slaves of fear, but we're slaves of righteousness, the scripture says. Romans 6:18. I had a professor that always used to say, choose your slavery. What? Who do you want to be your master? We have two choices. We choose God, because he's a God of justice. So let's take a look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians. We've read this many times. It's very familiar. But let's take a look at this. 2 Corinthians 10:6-8 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When our obedience is fulfilled, the disobedience is punished. And how do we bring that about? Well, we use this scripture a lot. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's right. The strongholds in our life can be pulled down by the Word of God. The Word of God's the change agent. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides the soul and the spirit. If you're not in the Word, you're going to have a hard time pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and everything that's trying to exalt itself above the will of God for your life. It's the Word of God that cuts things away. It's the Word of God that cleanses us, purifies us, gets us on the right path as we meditate on the Word and read the Word. Lord, help us to love your Word. Help us, Lord, to live your Word. You know, so many times I'll talk to people and you know they have a lot of head knowledge. They know a lot about the Word of God. But it has not gotten in their heart, in their soul, in the depths of their life. You can't keep it up here. It's like, Lord, help us. Get it from our heads to our hearts. That it will change us and transform us. Because we want our obedience to be fulfilled before the Lord. Because when we walk in harmony with God, when we're in alignment with the Lord, it is God who fights our battles. And regardless of what the nation is doing, and we cry out and pray for our nation, but let's do our part. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. It's us. It's the church. We are what is changing this nation. There is an army that God has risen up, and we will not back down. We are on pursuit to stand for the will of God to be accomplished in this nation. Can somebody say amen? And it's like Pastor Jay said this morning, regardless of what man plans, the plans of man fail. Because the plans of God stand eternally in the heavens. And so we have to be careful not to get too pulled in to everything. You've heard me say from this pulpit many times, don't take sides. We're on the Lord's side. We're in a different kingdom. The government that we serve is different. And we are a threat to the powers of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, because God fights our battle. And not only does God fight our battle, there's a host of angels, of warring angels that are on assignment that fight the battle. And God brings justice. What's our position? Before the Lord. Align me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So, question, we need to go on. What are you neglecting? Matthew 23:23. Let's read this. For people who believe that tithing isn't in the New Testament, right here's the scripture. All right, let's read it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. The weightier matter of the law is to do justice and mercy and faith. The first lesson I taught in this series was from Micah 6:8. That's our assignment, is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. But don't leave anything else undone. And actually, Jesus was saying the weightier matters of the law, the most important things that you can do, is to love justice and mercy and walk humbly with God, to walk in faith, to have faith in God. Because we are treating other human beings who are made in the image of God. They might have different opinions than us. They might have a different belief system than us. But that gives us no right to speak evil against them, to curse them with our words. Somebody needs to repent. We cannot do that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And if you take time to learn how someone else is thinking and why they come to a conclusion totally different than yours, it gives you a greater understanding of why you are so far apart on your ideas. I was listening to someone talking about progressives, and they said progressives believe everything is evolving. Morals are evolving. The family unit is evolving. A marriage is evolving. And so this is why they keep changing things. And they think that's okay. But you know, then on the other side of the spectrum is the conservatives that believe moral law is moral law. And it's not changing. God changes not. We stand on the Word of God. The Word of God is eternal in the heavens. And so you can see why there's such a clash, because it's two opposing views. But we know what's right, right? We stand on the Word. But that doesn't give us a right to treat anybody with disrespect or to call them names and stop fighting with them on Facebook. You're not going to change anything. Jesus, help us. It's like, just don't put it all out there. Sometimes it's better if people don't know. Some things are meant to be talked about face to face. Facebook is not a relationship. You do not have a relationship with people on Facebook. Come on. I've got over a thousand friends, I think. I mean, I have a lot of friends. I meet a lot of people, go to a lot of churches, and so a lot of people will friend me because they're friends of this friend and that friend within Christian International. And so, yes, most of the time I will go ahead and friend them, but I don't know who they are. I don't have time to keep up with them. I'm assigned to the river of life. Hallelujah. And this family that we love dearly and pray for and appreciate and stand with. I mean, you're enough. What can I say? I know. Yes. So we stand together as the family of God. Know where you're assigned to. That's where you're going to get your strength. That's where you're going to get your answers. For those of you that didn't know, Brother Harold had a stroke last week. When he got home from church, Dee said he was acting really odd. And she took him to the hospital. They said he had a stroke. He couldn't talk. They said his blood thinner medications was went, you know, too much blood to his brain, and that's what caused it. And so we went to prayer, didn't we, intercessors? We're standing in the gap for Brother Harold. We're believing for a complete recovery and restoration. And he went from a place where he didn't recognize anyone. He couldn't talk. And I asked Dee, I said, Dee, tell him we love him. Tell him we're praying for him. And put your mouth right down there and tell him that the intercessors are praying and that God is his healer. And she did. And she said he turned his face and kissed her on the cheek. Isn't that beautiful? And then overnight, Harold started talking. Hallelujah. And he's on his road to recovery. He's on the road to recovery. He may have to go into some place for some rehabilitation, but we're believing step by step. God will heal him and set him free. Hallelujah. So I love this family. If something's going on, they pray and they take it to God. We don't gossip about prayer requests. We pray the word of God. Hallelujah. So don't neglect anything God's telling you to do. And you might think about the last thing he told you to do that you've put off and you haven't done yet. Hallelujah. A lot of times people want another prophetic word. We've got some prophets coming in March to the church. Want another prophetic word, but you haven't even acted on the one that you got before. That's probably why they don't pick you. Oh, boy. So let's go on. Hallelujah. God knows. Yeah, it'd be interesting. The prophet calls you out and says, do the word you got the last time. Hallelujah. So Isaiah was, it sounds like in a similar situation that we see ourselves in, Isaiah was watching the deterioration of a nation because justice had been thrown out. Isaiah 59, do we have that up there? Okay. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. And I looked this up in the Barnes commentary, and I put a little bit of it on there, but I'm going to read the whole thing to you. None calleth for justice, or rather, there is no one who brings a suit with justice. No one who goes into court for the purpose of obtaining justice. There is a love of litigation, a desire to take all the advantage which the law can give, a desire to appeal to the law, not for the sake of having strict justice done, but for the sake of doing injury to others and to take some undue advantage of them. Nor any plead for truth, or no one pleads with truth. He does not state the cause as it is. He makes use of cunning and falsehood to gain his cause. They trust in vanity. They confide in quirks and invasions rather than in the justice of their cause. They conceive mischief. They form plans of evil, and they execute them when they are fully ripe. They conceive trouble and bring forth futility. Their womb prepares deceit, is what Job said in 15:35. And then the part that I put in the PowerPoint, the sense is that they form plans to injure others and that they expect to execute them by fraud and deceit. And we see that working within the systems of America. And we ask for God's justice. We cry out for justice in America. We cry out, Lord. Will you cry out this week with me
for justice in America. That God's will be established in this nation. This is God's nation. This is God's nation. He established this nation so that the gospel of the kingdom could go forward to the ends of the earth. We have been blessed because of God, not because of that we're special, not because we've done anything so special. It is because God put his anointing upon a group of people to come to this nation and establish free religion, free worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's read Psalm 7:14 through 17, because this is our last scripture, and I see you're like getting hungry and moving around in your seats and like, oh, when's she going to be done? Psalm 7:14 through 17. There is so much on justice. I think we could teach on this all year. And I know Elder Jim has lots of things on justice and righteousness. So, I mean, we could probably just keep going for a very long time on this subject, because it's talked about more than anything else. Let's read this. Psalm 7:14 through 17. Let's read it together. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So what are we going to do in the midst of all of the plans and the traps that the enemy has set? We are going to praise the Lord. We're going to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because as we praise his righteousness, as we praise the name of the Lord Most High and lift up his name, he is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And according to your word, Lord, let them fall into the traps that they have set for other people, and let the trouble come back on their own head. God, your word says that you are not mocked, that what a man sows, he shall also reap. We decree and declare that the wicked will reap what they have sown, and it will come back on their own head. And we thank you, Lord. We ask for justice as the ecclesia in the earth today. We say, let the justice of the King of Kings be executed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that according to Psalm 149, this is our honor. This is our honor as the saints of God to execute the judgments of God that are already written. And Lord, this is written in your word, and we ask for justice. Can you yell it? Justice. Justice. Justice in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pull down the political systems that have taken over. Political systems take over. They want power and they want more power. Leaders, vote for what is right for the people. They're concerned with the people. They're not concerned with their own kingdom and their own platform. So, Lord, tear down the political systems and establish your kingdom in this era of the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we are part of your kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost belongs to us. So let's read Psalm 37:28 one more time. We started with this passage. We'll read it one more time. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. And Lord, we thank you. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful I'm in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this time we've had in your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to teach us. And Lord, anything that was taught off, we thank you, Lord, for adjusting it. We thank you, Father. Anything that I made a broad stroke with, Lord, I just ask you to fill in the picture for everyone. God, we thank you that your word, your Holy Spirit, teaches us, settles these things in our heart, that you're a God of justice, and you will not bless sin, and we have to repent and align ourselves, seek your forgiveness, humble ourselves, and then, oh God, we cry for justice to come in each one of these family situations, each one of these individuals. Lord, you know the situations, God. You know the situations, God. And what I keep hearing is financially, there's been injustices financially. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that restores sevenfold. Hashikamashata. Lord, you restore sevenfold. We cry out for justice in these situations, oh God. We cry out, Lord, bring your justice. Bring your justice, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Execute your judgment, Lord, against the thief in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, he has to repay sevenfold. Hashikamana. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to share one thing. Last week we talked about, I shared with you, I had these keys on my desk when I went in. Aren't those pretty? On this key ring. With these scriptures, Isaiah 22:22. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. And Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. And so the binding and the loosing is according to the revelation word that God is speaking to you. He speaks to us. We hear his voice. And that is what we pray with. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to show you those. They're so beautiful. Thank you, Father, for keys to the kingdom. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise.